second half of Genesis 41. We're back in the Faith and Technicolor series after a couple weeks off. Had you had more time on Sunday, Pastor Drew, what would the longer ending have been?
Well, this is kind of the huge turnaround that everything's been pointing toward. This is where Joseph is put second in command by Pharaoh following the interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams about the 7 years of famine, followed by the 7 years of plenty, followed by the 7 years of famine. And so here Joseph, after all the trials, setbacks, all the difficult things that he's endured over the last 13 to 15 years since being sold into slavery by his brothers, he kind of, you know, rises to the surface, and it proves to be a huge turning point. If I had had more time, and I've been thinking about this in the aftermath of the sermon, it really is kind of amazing when you start listing the similarities between Joseph as a character that prefigures Christ and Jesus Christ himself. And, you know, as I was just thinking about some of those things, I wondered a little bit, apart from Joseph's life simply pointing to Christ, you know, how useful is that for us here and now? Or maybe just the fact that a lot of Joseph's experiences pointing to Christ is enough of a reason for us to be edified. And the thing from the scripture passage on Sunday that I was most struck by was the way that Joseph names his children. You know, he talks about how God has helped me forget the trouble in my father's household, and God has made me prosperous in the land of affliction. And, you know, I started thinking about how, you know, Joseph was kind of sent to a different country, and now he has risen to a position where he can be the savior of that country, just like Jesus left his throne in heaven and came down to earth to be the savior of all humanity and usher in a new creation. But at the same time, you know, like Jesus, who Isaiah calls a man of sorrows, and who obviously was a man of sorrows during his time here on earth, Joseph, in the names that he gives his two sons, is obviously a man of sorrows as well. There's this void, this emptiness in him because of, well, not his estrangement necessarily, but his separation from his family.
You think there's a, like in the naming of the sons, so far we really haven't seen that kind of despair from Joseph and the way he conducts himself, the way he behaves. Right. Mm-hmm. But it is there because you see it in the naming of the sons. Mm-hmm. Do you think that teaches us anything about how to deal with injustices or challenges in our life? I guess not to say, you know, bury it all deep down and go about your business with your head down. But what can we learn about, you know, the injustices and challenges of life from the way that Joseph took all those things on?
So we've been talking about that a little bit, how, you know, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what difficult situation he finds himself in, most of the time not due to his own fault. He just simply does his level best to do what is right in God's eyes and to take advantage of the opportunities that he has, and to just use his gifts where he can. And in a very kind of unassuming way, just because that's what would please God. And so Joseph, throughout this story, has taught us a contentment, I suppose, in all circumstances, but it's not a passive contentment. it's a contentment, but you know, he has the spiritual maturity to understand that as he strives to be content in all circumstances, that there is work to be done and work that God has given him to do. And so Joseph is living his life that way. And in the naming of his sons, yes, it's revealed that he's not completely satisfied. But, you know, that, I would say, points to the other climax in Joseph's story when there is this family reunion. Mm-hmm. And I talked about that a little bit on Sunday. But, you know, Joseph is content, and he's very pleased that he has been put into this high position, and he's doing a great job. He's been blessed in many ways with a marriage and with a family now, with a great deal of success and prosperity. And it almost seems at this point that he feels like, okay, well, God has given me much more than I deserve. I should be satisfied with this. But, you know, he doesn't yet understand how extensive God's grace is, and that God, even at this point, going into the years of plenty and famine, that God is orchestrating that reconciliation in Joseph's family.